Hi, I'm Sophia Kane, and today we're going to be talking about the Coalition of Immokalee Farm Workers, one of the most influential and impactful human rights organizations in the United States today. When you think of fast food, what is the first one that comes to mind? For me, it's burgers. The classic, basic kind of burger with all the toppings like you'd see in a drawing, with lettuce, onions, tomatoes, and everything else. What you've likely never thought about is where any of those ingredients come from and the people that farm them. When I asked my friends if any of them had ever heard about the Coalition of Immokalee Farm Workers, a single person had, being from a neighboring town in Florida, but she didn't actually know much about what they do. Thinking of places like McDonald's, Burger King, and Subway, human rights likely aren't the first thing you think of. However, these corporations and many others have made the commitment to human rights and sustainability in their food processes through where they purchase their tomatoes from. Today's story starts in 1993 in southern Florida on the fields of tomato farms in the town of Immokalee, the birthplace of the Coalition of Immokalee Farm Workers, also known as the CIW. This was a significant era for food movements within the U.S., with the FDA approving GMOs just a few years prior, E. coli and Salmonella outbreaks causing panic among consumers, and the death of Cesar Chavez, all contributing to a shift within agricultural production, knowledge, and awareness within the United States. The success of the CIW is almost completely unprecedented, starting as a small grassroots organization of farm workers, staging the first farm worker protest against a fast food corporation, and growing to be one of the most accomplished human rights organizations in the United States. The CIW was inspired by former farm worker movements, including Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, all looking to raise awareness of the abuses faced by farm workers and achieve change in the larger food system through agreements with retailers and corporations. The CIW first came together in 1993, looking to work towards better wages and working conditions in the fields, a small group of immigrant workers looking to achieve reasonable goals. The conditions faced were awful, working long hours with little pay and unsafe conditions, facing discrimination, and often enduring what is considered to be modern-day slavery.
A group of us, myself, were working, harvesting tomatoes. The boss stole our wages, got mad because we asked for $20 to buy utensils and basic staples because we were getting sick with the food that his sister-in-law was selling. And he got mad that we didn't want to continue like that. So we didn't have a job the next day. We didn't have a home, money. We didn't know anybody. That was our welcoming to Immokalee.
The initial organization was small, with protests, marches, and boycotting. But in 1997, they started working alongside the FBI and the U.S. Department of Justice to start uncovering more instances of human trafficking, discrimination, and modern-day slavery within Florida farms.
A lot of tomatoes go in and out of that town. Yeah, and you're talking about 20 years ago that there was slavery in Florida?
Well, I'm talking about how, you know, when I arrived, there was a second case of modern-day slavery, but there's been many other cases. It was not something that happened.
It wasn't just a one-off thing. It was something that was part of the system.
It's something that was happening almost every year.
Yeah.
And continues to happen, you know, outside of the protections of the Fair Food Program, which we will touch upon. And that's why this conversation is so important for us.
Absolutely.
Through the partnerships with these two governmental organizations, the CIW has been able to help rescue around 1,200 farm workers from modern-day slavery and human trafficking. These successes have led them to their first major protest, and what was the first farm worker protest against a fast food corporation in 2001. The focus of this protest was Taco Bell. The CIW believed that if they went directly to the buyer, there would be a larger impact, believing that larger corporations needed to take responsibility for where they were getting their product from and who it was actually impacting for consumers to get their dollar menu burgers. The campaign against Taco Bell lasted until 2005, eventually gaining enough steam to become a national movement and consisting of boycotts, a hunger strike, and national marches. They eventually were able to come to an agreement in March of 2005, with Taco Bell agreeing to pay 2 cents per pound of tomatoes, doubling from what it previously was at 1 cent per pound of tomatoes, with this extra money going entirely to the workers, along with agreeing to only purchase tomatoes from farms that gave this extra profit to the workers. This protest is what kicked off the Fair Food campaign, protesting several fast food corporations and food distributors, including Chipotle, Trader Joe's, and Whole Foods. These corporations then joined the fast food program, officially launched in 2011, enforcing basic worker rights, minimum wage, worker education, and sexual harassment programming and training for all participating farms. By joining this program, fast food corporations and food distributors are making a significant commitment to sustainability within our food systems and are showing that food is never just food, but that it has much larger implications coming from the treatment of those who provide it. This program is not just about improving farm worker rights, but is about achieving a sustainability for our global food systems. One of the larger successes of the CIW was in 2014, when Walmart was able to join the FFP, or the Fair Food Program.
It's a negotiation, and the market, we all think as consumers that Walmart is the biggest buyer in the world. And in fact, they are the biggest individual buyer in the world of most things, right? But Walmart sells too. So the biggest buyer is actually the consumers who buy, who have all the purchasing power in the world, right? But consumers, as a rule, act individually. They don't act collectively. They don't purchase in any kind of collective way. What we did was to say, we need you as consumers to tell Taco Bell that you won't buy from Taco Bell if they don't demand human rights compliance from their supplier. Where we were.
Walmart is the largest food provider in the United States, and nearly everyone has shopped there before, whether just out of necessity, once in a while, or regularly. Only within the United States, they serve a tremendous 37 million people a day. By joining the Fair Food Program and making the commitment to purchasing sustainably and ethically produced food, they are representing a huge shift for the U.S. food industry. The United States operates on an intently and ever-increasing capitalistic system, and for much of its history, human rights have been basically entirely ignored within the business sphere. Profit has always been, and usually still is, prioritized over everything and anything else. However, with Walmart joining the Fair Food Program, not only do farm workers have more guaranteed rights, but more consumers have the opportunity to purchase sustainably produced and healthier food, something that has been restricted for so many for so long thanks to the process of food redlining or food deserts. This is when grocery stores intentionally choose to avoid opening in low-income and minority communities, thinking that there is no profit in these areas, therefore depriving them of food sovereignty, food choice, and lots of healthy options. Walmart provides foods for millions of people at much lower prices than most organic and gentrified grocery stores, like Whole Foods or Erewhon. By doing this, they actively fight the effects of food redlining and help support food sovereignty within marginalized communities across the United States. Although communities are victims of food redlining are often left with fast food options, there are many fast food chains that have joined the Fair Food Program. While getting fast food often may seem like the easy option, and often is regarded as completely unhealthy, even if consumers are not aware of what they are doing, they are actively contributing to sustainable food production and supporting basic human rights. The CIW is best known for their work with the Fair Food Program, but they have done so much more for human rights beyond this. Since their founding in 1993, their fight for better working conditions for farm workers has included reducing the amount of sexual harassment experienced by workers in the fields. For Florida farms that have joined the CIW, they have implemented sexual harassment training and workshops. These workshops teach farm workers the legal pathways to report sexual assault and how to prevent it. They also placed CIW supervisors trained for sexual harassment in the fields with the workers. These efforts have resulted in near elimination of sexual harassment on CIW-affiliated farms, making a significant and tangible difference in the quality of work environment and quality of life for these farm workers. Right now, some companies like Wendy's and Publix are refusing to join the Fair Food Program, placing profit over human rights. But the CIW continues to lobby their protests, working towards expanding their reach even further and helping as many farm workers as possible. They're enacting real change into the lives of so many and making a significant change to our food systems, one farm at a time. So next time you want one of those fast food burgers, take a second to think about who your choices are impacting and consider the work done by the Coalition of Immokalee Farm Workers, and maybe choose to get your food from a business that supports sustainable change within our world. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you learned something today, and I encourage you to look more into the amazing work done by the Coalition of Immokalee Workers.